everybody, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy freaking Monday, baby. Holy shit, I'm surprised I'm alive. The Adam Devine Weird Life Tour ended last night at the Wiltern Theater in Los Angeles, California. Thank you, everybody who came. What a show, what a tour. I feel like I got better as a comic. I got better as a busmate, a friend on the bus. If that's a thing to improve at. I've never been on a bus or slept on a bus before like that, and it was unbelievable. But that LA show was great. If you were there, you got to see me close out my set by... I dropped the C word. I'm not a big fan of it, but it is a powerful piece of machinery, a verbal weaponry. You know, in dire needs or dire situations, you need to really put the hammer down sometimes. And a woman yelled, "Fuck you," to me. She'd been screaming through my Shania Twain bit, which is a great sentence, and she was like, "Yeah," and then the laughs died down, and I paused before I moved on to the next thing, and she just goes, "Fuck you," and everyone's like, "Oh, ooh," and I'm like, "Well, that wasn't very nice. What was that all about?" She goes, "You had it coming, making fun of Shania Twain," and I was like, "Jesus," and then I asked her a couple more questions to try to, again, always kill it with kindness and keep the audience on my side, and she was very combative, and then people started yelling, and then I just paused, and I go, "You got to shut this down," and I go, "Now, sweetheart, I'm sorry, I can't remember, did the poster outside say Adam Devine or Adam Devine featuring a drunk cunt in the third row?" And the place went bonkers. It was like Tupac came back from the dead, and Snoop and Eminem and Dre were all with him, and they performed the, you know, your favorite song. Like, and you went nuts. Like, that, everybody, 1,800 people went nuts. And I would have dropped the mic and walked off stage, but I had to do one more joke, smooth it out, and then bring up Adam Devine. So, anyway, that was insane. I'm sorry to that girl, but you had it coming, like you said to me. So, you're going to play with fire, you're going to get burned. All right? But the tour was amazing. Thanks to everybody that came out. And I'm looking forward to getting on the road and headlining on my own again around the country. Today's episode is a good one. Holy shit. If you love the Adam Carolla podcast, you know our guest, Gina Grad. Oh, yeah, baby. The hilarious and sweet Gina Grad, a L.A. staple of radio and comedy. She's been on the Carolla podcast now for 2 years. She filled in for Allison Rosen and has been crushing it. She's now a staple of that podcast, the biggest podcast on the planet. She's a radio DJ here in Los Angeles. Her journey to LA is unbelievable. Going to New York from Kansas, musical theater, how she found her way into this business and the grind that she put in is really inspiring. So on top of this being a funny episode, it's one of those ones that makes you go, shit, man, you really got to put it all out there and all on the line and just do what it takes to get what you want. And she's a living, breathing proof of that. So enjoy this episode and check her out on the Adam Carolla podcast and follow her on Twitter at Gina Grad. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast, at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, ALN Podcast on Instagram, Brad Williams Comedy on Instagram. This weekend, this week, Wednesday, holy shit, it's here. The ALN Live is at the Wise Guys Comedy Club in Salt Lake City, baby. 8 p.m., Wednesday, March 8th, Wise Guys in Salt Lake City, live About Last Night podcast. Get your tickets at wiseguyscomedy.com and come party with us. This weekend, Brad is in Orlando, Florida, at the Improv. He was just in D.C. Now he's at the Orlando Improv. Brad Williams, March 9th through the 11th. Go see Brad, Orlando, Florida, Improv. I will be at Gotham Comedy Club this weekend, my second time headlining. I'm so pumped. March 10th through the 12th, Friday through Sunday. Get your tickets at GothamComedyClub.com and come out and see me in New York City. I'm bringing Sandy Danto. I'm bringing Avery Pearson. We're doing the music again, and I'm pumped. All those tour dates for me, AdamRayTV.com. Brad's at BradWilliamsComedy.com. All the merch is now at aboutlastnightpodcast.com, so go to that site, get your ALN merch, and come to the shows. And, of course, check out my other podcast, The Good Call Podcast with Josh Wolf, sports and comedy without all the numbers, but more with the comedy and the sports. It's a lot of fun. Good Call Podcast on iTunes. We just had Michelle Beadle on from Sports Nation and my boy Joey McIntyre from New Kids on the Block, and a couple other great guests are being recorded as we speak. Mixed as we speak. They've been recorded. Anyway, Does that make sense? Subscribe to the Good Call Podcast on iTunes and the ALN Podcast as well. Make sure you spread the word. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your family. Subscribe, rate it, comment on iTunes. Helps us climb the charts. All right, I'm exhausted. You can tell. 30 days on the road and I'm spent. So now that we got the tour dates out of the way, the Twitter handles, the merch info, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night Podcast with the very funny, the very sweet, the very talented Gina Grad.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Are you at a point to where you get, I guess starstruck is the word I'm looking for?
Every day.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Cause between the morning show and the Adam Carolla show, I've been on the morning show with you when you were talking to the lead singer of Chicago or Boston.
Probably.
Or one of the bands that's named after a city.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Budapest. I don't know. They don't have as many hits. But
That would be a fun game to play. Like, how many can you come up with?
Yeah, we tried that before, but yeah, we usually get stuck after Boston. You're right.
Yeah,
Kansas.
Oh yeah, there's Kansas.
A group called Kansas.
Yeah, Carry On My Wayward Son.
Oh, that's them.
Dust in the Wind.
Oh. Yeah. Oh,
wow, I didn't know their name was Kansas.
Oh my God. Amazing.
I know the songs.
Yeah. Now, being from Kansas, do you guys have like a special place in your heart for that band?
I thought I did until I met him, and he said it was basically like an arbitrary fucking name. Like,
oh really?
Yeah. I think one of the dudes is from Kansas, but he wasn't like super excited about it.
Oh, see, that's a bummer.
I know.
Why would you not be pumped about your band name? Also, like, you get to pick it. That seems
I feel like the guy I asked isn't the one who picked it.
Yeah,
like maybe I shouldn't have asked him.
I mean, that's like the guys from Lynyrd Skynyrd being like, "Oh, we hate Alabama." It's like blasphemy,
right?
You have
not
the anthem,
such a sweet home.
Yeah.
You were just in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Loved it. It was my first time at headline of the Improv, but then I went. What was even more cool was that the
you
Chiefs.
You went to Chiefs game.
Yeah, and so I
listened to this podcast.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I love it.
I loved it. That club is great. The comedy people were great.
Yeah,
and then I was talking to somebody, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm going to be out there." And they're like, "Oh, you're going to go to the Chiefs game, right?" And I was like, "No." And then they were like, "Well, you're there, and that stadium's amazing, and it's a playoff game. Why would you not?" And so I bought tickets, and then Chris Porter was, who's from there, was out there, and I was like, "Hey, I'm going to get tickets and go to the game." And he goes, "Cool." He goes, "We'll sit in your dope seats, but my friend also has a suite up there, and we can go there too."
And so wasn't this like the day of Armageddon?
Oh, it was. Yeah, it was.
It was like black ice everywhere.
They had said, it was like a running joke on all the shows because of people coming out because the weather people were like, "Yeah, this is going to be the worst ice storm in the history of the world." Like people, they were saying I was going to be trapped in Kansas City for a week at one point. Like all the newscasters were like, "Yeah, we're surprised we came in," and nothing happened.
Yeah, it was fine.
That's always that's always the case.
Yeah,
and I don't know if it was that thing where it was like 2 years ago out here they were doing repairs on the 405 freeway.
Carmageddon! The carpocalypse!
Never don't leave your house! Volvos are running wild in the streets!
It's all propaganda.
It's gonna be a 9-hour drive that should take you 5 minutes, and they just do this, and we fall for it every fucking time.
I shouldn't give myself the generous compliment that I'm in there, but sometimes we just need something to talk about.
Yeah.
Now, when does Dwarfageddon happen?
Oh.
Dwarfageddon happens if Dinklage gets assassinated. If someone.
Leprechaun
your leader goes
nine.
Down.
Yeah. If someone takes out Dinklage, we riot in the streets. We go nuts. We would go. There would be that scene like from Forrest Gump where we're going across the pool.
Yeah.
The reflecting pool, but we would probably drown because it's like. What's like a foot and a half deep?
Thigh high.
Oh God, that's awful. Yeah. But yeah, that's when Dwarfageddon would happen, or if they bring back Snow White again and once again don't use dwarves in the casting,
if they replace you with CGI again.
Wait.
That's a real thing.
Snow White
and
the Huntsman.
Huntsman.
Yeah, Snow White and the Huntsman. Bob Hoskins was one of the dwarves.
He's halfway.
He's Maybe, but like
this is like that shit storm with the new Willy Wonka with the one dude that played all the Oompa Loompas.
One Oompa Loompa, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
you got hosed.
We did, and that's the thing is we get pissed. Like we get pissed off that we're being stereotyped, but then when you don't cast us to be our stereotype, we're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, what are we good for?
That's our paycheck.
Yeah. At least ask me.
Yeah,
so
like
I can turn you down.
Yeah, like we're not going to be in the Avengers.
Understood.
So I mean, unless there's some like there's probably some deep Marvel cut superhero that's like Tom Thumb or something. I mean, we're already not playing Ant-Man.
Brad has a script at home, by the way, called Tom Thumb.
Oh, you best believe it.
Do you really?
The best finger.
the best finger.
Yeah.
I mean,
Thumbelino.
Thumbelino.
For the Italian market.
Yeah.
That
would be hot because, you know, like, Thumbelino, now we're like the romantic lead.
Exactly.
Like, who stole your woman? Oh, Thumbelino. Thumbelino!
You can have that.
Done.
You're welcome.
Wait, so how was growing up in Kansas? Did you love it?
It was fine.
Yeah.
I grew up in the suburbs. Okay. My mom has referred to it once or twice as Vanilla Village. I was the most exotic thing.
You have a very exotic look, so.
Do I?
For sure.
Oh, thanks. I meant it in the fact that I looked like everybody else and yet was still exotic.
Right.
I mean, it was not a diverse place.
Was that just being Jewish? Like being the only Jew?
Yeah. Well, you know, we have a Jewish community center.
Okay.
I was in B'nai B'rith. Are you familiar?
For sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
Which is basically like Jewish like fraternity sorority system for like high school kids.
Gotcha.
I never went to camp, but I did have pool patches.
All right.
What are those?
You know when you like you pay to go to the public pool and like for the summer
cool.
Your mom like sews the patch onto your swimsuit, so you're like bling, and that's how you get
go
in.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Like, you know.
Okay.
And
okay,
so
okay.
When I'd say like, well, Lynn and Marjorie went to camp for a month, and why can't I go? You have pool patches.
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But camp? it was fine. We had a mall.
The Mall of America. Oh wait, no. Kansas.
No, that's Minnesota.
That's right.
Oak Park Mall.
Okay.
Which you could walk to. My school was right there. The mall was right there. It was very suburban.
You spend a lot of hangout time at the mall?
Duh.
Yeah, duh.
I feel like
579.
Yeah, you're not a true high school kid if you don't hang out at the mall.
Correct.
At least like 4 weekends out of the month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just.
Which is all the weekends.
All
the weekends.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Sometimes you go there specifically to try to get the guy at Panera to ask you out.
Wow.
You guys
too?
Don't do that. Yeah, right.
I mean,
St. Louis Bread Company, before it was Panera.
I mean, for me personally, it was the girl from Hot Dog on a Stick. I don't know why those outfits were sexy to me, but they were.
Those outfits are so hot. And then the hat, I'm into it.
I don't know why. I can't tell
it's
you
sexy.
Why.
It
I can't. Maybe it's the motion of churning the lemonade. I have no idea. I don't know what it is.
It's kind of like a 70s field hockey uniform.
Kinda, yeah.
And
yeah,
I think
yeah.
You're okay with that.
I'm okay with that.
By the way, can I just say something random?
Yeah.
Sweet suka in your fucking courtyard out there.
Oh, thanks.
Did you build that for the holidays?
Wouldn't that be great if I did? Now tell our listeners and Brad and any other non-Jews what you meant when you just said that.
So there's a holiday called Sukkot, and it's like the harvest holiday in the fall, and you build literally what Adam has in his courtyard, like a slated roof, like a little hut that you can kind of see through, and you're supposed to spend how much time in it? I don't know, like a couple of days.
A couple of days?
Yeah.
Wow,
how good of a Jew are you? Which is a game show I'm trying to pitch to GSN next Saturday.
This Friday on How Good of a Jew Are You?
No. It's How Good of a Jew Are You?
You?
Yeah.
We would air it on Saturday, but that's Shabbat.
Nice.
Amazing.
You're the announcer.
Well,
did I get that right?
Yeah.
All right.
You can be our Shabbos goy. You're the one who turns the lights on and off
the
because
Shabbos
you can't
goy,
do it.
Yes. Yeah. This thing, when I heard what these things are, this blew my freaking mind.
It's a workaround.
So there's some sect of Judaism where it's like Orthodox Judaism where you can't touch anything electronic on Saturday. You can't flip a switch. You can't do anything.
Can't tear toilet paper.
Right. So they literally
That's intense.
So they literally hire someone, the Shabbos Goy or the Shabbos Goyim. I don't know
that it's a nice term. I think it might be slanderous, but that's what I've heard it called.
Yeah, and
you hire someone not Jewish to go and do your bidding for the 24 hours.
So they can go to hell and you find the loophole.
Bingo. It's pretty great. We grew up conservative
in
Kansas.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. How? Yeah. So I went to shul every Friday night. I went to Hebrew school from when I was a like, Sunday school for like I went to Jewish preschool.
Yeah.
And then did like the whole public school thing, but during that went to Hebrew school through high school.
Wow.
Had my did the Musaf and the Torah service, bam, for my bat mitzvah.
Oh my god.
It was like
so do you speak
thing.
Like full Hebrew?
None, not no. at all, except for let's see if Adam knows how to answer this. Sheket bavaka shah.
Well,
hey,
that means shut up.
Yeah, and that, oh, you say that, it yeah. to little kids. Sheket bavaka. Hey,
or be quiet.
Shah. Yeah, yeah. It's shut up, kids.
Shah. That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
My.
That's so, that's so much better than saying shut up.
Yeah. Check it. Yeah. Check it.
I mean,
before you wreck it.
That's.
Oh my god. That's
gonna,
a t-shirt.
That's gonna be a t-shirt.
Yeah. Did you?
Check it before you wreck it.
Did you have
like a modest Yahoo rap?
I loved him.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yes.
He was kind of like yes. our, yeah, he was revolutionary.
He was. I saw him at Coachella. He shaved, though. Is he not on his Yahoo anymore?
Does he not do the curls?
No.
He doesn't do the curls anymore?
He's like a bullshit. Clean-shaven
Nobody wants that guy. Nobody wants that version.
It's weird, no. right?
That, I mean, which do you think caused more rage?
Okay.
Modest Yahoo shaving, uh-huh. and now he's not looking like an Orthodox Jew anymore.
Right, right.
Or Felicity cutting her hair.
Wow. Wow. You know what? I think globally,
yeah.
I'm going to have to go with Felicity.
Felicity. Yeah. That was the show?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
She cut her hair and that was a big...
Carrie Russell.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Hate mail.
Death threats. Oh,
what?
The woman literally like probably had to move. She had these long curls and she shaved it into like a little pixie cut and people lost their minds.
Right.
Oh, it was so sad.
What a great time when that was something
to be alive.
That was something that we could be outraged over and yeah. not like the threat of war.
And that was before yeah, and that was kind of before Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so like you had to really have a because
you right, go to your neighbor's house and tell them about your outrage yeah. at Carrie Russell's hair.
You see you see kids, but before the days of Twitter,
yeah.
when you got mad, you had like there had to be a thought like there had to be a long thought process like I have to write a strongly worded letter.
Yep.
Yeah. How mad do I want to get?
Right.
And like how many steps do I want to go to like prove a point?
Yeah.
Or to send a right. message?
Am I get my fat ass off the couch mad?
Yeah.
Or am I just sit and stew in my own juices yeah. mad?
Or I just throw this glass at the TV?
Yeah.
Or
totally.
Yeah. Because
kick my cat.
Yeah. Because I mean I've never kicked a cat, but I've done.
I kicked my sister's cat once when I was in the eighth grade. Not really? Hard. It was a shove off a couch. It was like
okay.
And in my defense, that cat had jumped on my head 2 weeks prior. Like jumped on my head, yeah. claws dug into my head with no kick. All love. All love had been shown.
It is a luscious head of hair.
Thank you.
So
hilarious. That's why I did it. It was
like,
jealous.
It was
a crime of passion.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, there's really no. Well, I want to know this. How many radio personalities were there in Kansas, and were you influenced by any of them?
All of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't know they weren't local because I didn't understand how radio works or syndication. I just listened at night and I heard, you know, the lifeguard blowing the whistle at the pool and I had to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And so Delilah
yeah.
and Man Cow.
Wow. Man Cow. Oh, wow.
Oh, I thought they were all our local DJs.
Oh,
and Man-Cow. Johnny Dare.
Yeah.
These were...
Johnny Dare's still there.
I know.
And I go on the Johnny Dare show.
Shut your face right up.
Yeah, and it is awesome.
He's
Johnny
a great guy, right?
He's a fantastic guy. He always has dogs in the studio with him.
Amazing.
And oh he's God. Still, he's such a good personality there that he, I think I did a 38-minute talking break with him. With no commercials.
Oh my God.
Are you sure? Did you see that there was an on-air sign
yeah.
blinking? Wow, like, that was a long talk break.
I kept looking at him like, are we good? And he's like, they let me do whatever I want.
Oh, because he's Johnny Dare.
Because he's Johnny Dare.
That's amazing.
Local legend of Kansas City.
For real.
Johnny Dare.
And I wanted to be all of these people. And then yeah. I moved here and I wanted to be Heidi Hamilton. And I always wanted to be Robin Quiver. In fact, I don't know. I worked at KLSX
yeah.
at 97.1. That's where I met Adam and all those guys. Because I worked mm-hmm. at night on the Tim Conway Jr. show. And when I started there, I told him I wanted to do the news, and he said, fine, but you have to do it like Robin Quivers. So for a year and a half,
mm-hmm.
I could only deliver the news like Robin Quivers.
Like doing a Robin Quivers impression?
Yellow. Yes.
Like how would that, what's a Robin Quivers impression?
I don't have a headline. Let's see what Fox said. Oh, here's one.
Oh, there you go.
You get all the alerts on your phone, yeah?
Yep, always.
Do you like being as informed as you are?
Nope. Hate it. Part of my job. Part of both of my jobs. And I'd feel like a real dick.
Because I feel like most people pick and choose when they want to pay attention to the world.
No.
And you have to all the time.
Yes. Yeah. I feel a duty to do
of
that
course.
All the time. So this is probably...
That's why you're so good at your job.
Thank you. I haven't done this in 11 years. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
President Trump's new travel ban will exempt legal permanent residents and existing visa holders, sources tell CNN. Howard.
Clip so four.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
that's
I
really
literally,
good.
I had to do this for a year.
Because why?
Because he thought it was funny. And it's the only way he'd let me on the air because I was a producer. There is probably a video on the internet, and the only reason I'm not pretending like this never happened is because I was 35 pounds lighter and looked amazing, so fucking find it, have fun. Everyone on the show, when it was the Conway and Whitman show, all the producers, Tim, Brian, everyone had to get in their underwear.
Whoa.
And get on a scale.
Whoa.
And the whole point was to see if we could collectively break 2,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So there is footage of me taking my pants off, apologizing to my father, who worked at KNX one floor up, who we'd see every night, and getting on that scale, man. Yeah.
So now, do you think this was all just a radio bit to get you in your underwear?
Possibly.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be part of the team, so
sure.
I was not going to be the one.
No,
I wasn't
going
to be the reason this bit failed.
Yeah.
No.
That's not who I am.
Yeah.
So how? So these, you heard all these people in Kansas, and what about it was so attractive to you, and why? And then what makes you want to come to LA? So your dad was working out here.
Yeah, he moved here when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And
your dad is from
His name is Steve Grad. He up until very recently, like the last couple weeks, I was at KNX for a million years.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's retired, and I didn't want to be in radio because that's what boring dads do, read sports updates.
Yeah, because he did sports. Now, did he do sports in Kansas? Or
Yeah. He traveled all the time. He always did stuff with ESPN, and he was always on the road calling games and doing color. And if I didn't get it, I didn't care. I still don't. Not that I don't care about him. I'm not a sports nut.
Yep.
So radio is something for dads who are boring. And I had no interest, so I moved to New York to do theater because I'm a very fancy theater actress.
Had you had any prior experience?
I have 5 years of training from the University of Kansas.
Ooh.
Yes, five. I really take my time.
How intimidating is New
Rock
York
chalk.
Versus Kansas?
It wasn't at all because I was one of those like theater kids that knew I wasn't supposed to be there.
Oh,
you know, knew I wasn't supposed to be in Kansas.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with it. My mom's still there. It was a great upbringing, but... it's not my thing.
Yeah. And you knew that.
Yes. And half my friends moved to New York, half my friends moved to LA. So I went to New York with my boyfriend. I moved there 3 weeks before 9/11.
Oh my God.
Timing.
So I was down to, I work in the gym at the World Trade Center.
Oh my God.
But they fired me. The first time I've ever gotten fired in my life.
Why?
Life-saving
fire.
Because I lied on my application that I had experience working at a gym, being a receptionist.
Everybody does that.
No,
newsflash.
Yeah. So they fired me. I was devastated because I was broke. And then I got a job working in Chelsea, which is just, you know, 20 blocks up. And we watched the whole thing from the floor to ceiling window. It was.
And then are you watching that going, I was like, if they didn't fire me, that
I'd be dead.
You'd be there. Now,
yes, absolutely.
Because I've heard.
Oh, my God.
I've heard the Seth MacFarlane story.
Insane.
That he was supposed to be on one of the planes.
And overslept, right?
Yes.
Yeah. He missed the flight and he was going to be on one of those planes.
It's
insane. And he says he never thinks about it, never talks about it. And if you bring it up in an interview, he's like, yeah, it was going to happen, but it didn't. So let's move on.
I get that.
Are you kind of in that same boat?
Now, yeah. I don't even really connect to it because I think at this point it's been how many, like 16 years?
Sure. And obviously you don't want to be one of those people that you weren't there but tries to make it about you.
Right. And at this point for me,
I
feel like since looking back, I was really not in any danger. I was in Chelsea. I was not downtown. I was fine. I lived in Queens. Nobody wants shit in Queens anyway. That it feels very, and this is a terrible choice of words, but like masturbatory, you know, like self-indulgent.
Yeah.
And that's not a way to honor many people's lives.
And you know what? Very mature of you to think that, because I know we all know people that if their fifth cousin twice removed from their step grandfather's side was there at 9/11, they'd be like, it affected me.
You can't all have been at Woodstock. It's not physically possible. Yeah. So, but I was there. I could, and it is weird to think that I was in the middle of a part of history. Like, that's pretty crazy.
Hell yeah.
Like, that's crazy. But to get very reflective and self-indulgent every September 11th feels very disrespectful to the deceased for me.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, and you say in hindsight, like, you weren't in any danger, but, like, you didn't know that in the moment. Like,
in fact,
how do you know that the building you were in, like, there could have been a, like, that was such a crazy fucking event that, like,
horrible.
I mean, there's no reason for you to not think that, like, oh, it's just going to be like a domino effect
you're
of buildings down this street where they all blow up.
We had no idea. We just happened to be on the same floor sharing a building with the CIA. So, and I was a temp. I just moved to New York. I didn't know anybody. Mm-hmm. The CEO at the company I was working for, they're all so much fucking money. He gathers us all in the lobby and goes, all right, so we don't know what's going on. If you have a helicopter or a boat or a jet, we suggest you get on it. I'm like, helicopter?
If Trump?
Or a hot air balloon made out of vanilla wafers. Anybody
I didn't know
a wafer balloon?
I didn't know anybody. I was a temp. And so I was leaving because I found a way to hook up with a friend who had a car. And the CIA guy grabs me. He goes, excuse me, young lady, if you leave, you cannot come back in this building. And nobody knew what. It was like Cloverfield outside. Nobody knew what was going on. Yeah. And I said, I don't know anyone. So what do I do if everyone leaves and I'm stuck in the building? So I left and I started running. Yeah. And everybody, you just see this mass of people running with torn suits because they're putting it over their mouths.
Was the smoke already, like, penetrating, like, just
probably
there?
I honestly don't.
Kind of a blur.
Yeah, it's a blur. And then I finally got to Harlem, which, again, nobody's looking to.
Sure.
And,
isn't Harlem where they film Sesame Street? No, that's Queens. I was about to say, Harlem's got something to offer.
Yeah. Silver Cup Studios?
Maybe? Is that what it's called? I don't know. I've been trying to get there. You know what? Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street? Because I know I walked right into that, but, like, I really do. Every time I go, I had one connection at one point. And, by the way, this is the first 9/11 to Sesame Street tangent in the history of podcasts. But
a logical step. Everyone knows Grover was in on it.
Right.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
I didn't know
how
that.
Dare you? Too soon. So my buddy's girlfriend was a puppeteer, and then we, like, lost contact. And one time I went out there, and I got her tickets to my show, and then she was like, yeah, let me know next time you're out here. And then he just hasn't responded. And it's like, it was kind of heartbreaking because I'm like, she offered, like, a tour and a hangout, and, like, that is, I mean, like, I wanted to be a Muppeteer so bad for the longest time.
Oh, because you do that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was like, God. I was convinced I was going to do it. I mean, you know.
You could have walked right into the middle of your own childhood.
Yeah.
How meta is that?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I'm sure it's going to be one of those things like the Price is Right set where it's like, it looks so much bigger on
it's
stage.
Wah, wah.
And then you see it and it's so small. But then you see Bob Barker, a.k.a. Big Bird, and you're like, oh, shit, I'm starstruck. You know what I'm saying?
Did you see Finding Elmo, the documentary?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen everything Muppet. Anyway, tangents.
I'm interested.
I want to know, in New York, though, you were acting there, but, I mean, was the radio, because that's obviously, Stern was so prominent, and, like,
he was
just
huge.
New York's such a big market.
Yeah.
Was that ever a...
I listen to Stern every morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I'll never forget the fight they had with Artie after he didn't go to work for a few days after 9/11 and screaming at him. That was one of the most enthralling, exciting, bizarre fights I've ever heard.
That was one of those things where
you remember it?
I've heard it before, and I can't imagine listening to that live going, well, I'm just going to be 30 minutes late for work today.
Yeah, it was insane. And they were like, we all got here. It was, I couldn't turn it off. Mm-hmm. He's a huge influence. He's incredible. And it doesn't matter if he's dirty. He is, there's a reason they call him the king of all media. He's amazing.
And the greatest interviewer maybe ever.
Yeah. And you know, that's a thing lately that, like, I'm really self-conscious about. And I don't know why, but I just, you know, Adam does all the, you know, interviewing and he takes care of that. And we do
We're talking about Corolla.
And we do a little interviewing on the morning show. But in general, I feel like I'm a really weak interviewer, which is weird because I'm so curious about people.
Yeah.
So I want to be better.
Yeah. It's a weird skill, but
yeah,
I would say
from
doing this podcast, and I'm sure Adam will agree with me, that it's just something that I think I feel we've gotten better at it just from repetition.
Just doing it. Yeah, and I had a podcast for 8 years called The Pretty Good Podcast because we set the bar low.
Nice.
And so you get in this rhythm and you think you're, you know, it does get easy. But when it's like, you're interviewing the drummer from Styx tomorrow at 7:40. I'm like, that's out of my league. It's not something that I, it's not like, oh, how much time do we got? You know, I feel like I don't necessarily belong in that echelon of dealing with these amazing classic rock stars.
Well, and there's something to be said for that, because I know that when I was briefly doing morning radio up in San Francisco, like we were told that, okay, you guys are going to interview Bono tomorrow. And we, like, I flipped out.
I would call in sick.
Yeah, the girl on the show, Allie, went nuts. Yeah. And then our host, Kevin Klein, was like, all right.
Yeah.
And there's some people just are not fazed by that at all.
Yeah.
And I know that when we were interviewing him, like, I was scared to talk. I'm like, because what if you just have to
remember the time when you
you just have flashbacks like the Chris Farley show. Like, you remember on the MTV Awards when you were drumming with Garth and you guys didn't know if you would have the satellite hookup, and then you had the satellite hookup? Remember that? That was awesome.
Remember when you were in the Beatles?
All right, little Brad, get some rest. You got a big day at school tomorrow. Sweet dreams.
Thanks, Uncle Adam, but, you know, you've never really asked me about my dreams.
Yeah, well, it's not really been something I've been too concerned about. But while we're on the subject, what are your dreams, little Brad?
Oh, I've got big dreams, Uncle Adam.
Okay.
One day when I grow up, I'm going to be the first professional dwarf football player.
That sounds dangerous, but I'm here to support you.
And then I'm going to be an astronaut. I'm going to go to Pluto. You want to know why, Uncle Adam?
Not really.
That's a dwarf planet. That means there might be other dwarves there.
Wow. Well, speaking of dreams, little Brad, those both sound like two things you might be able to achieve, but I've got an idea that could help out your uncle, help you make some money, and be a nice little side job for you.
Well, that sounds great. What is it?
Driving for Lyft. Yeah, Lyft is a ride-sharing app that lets you be your own boss, pick your own hours, and earn up to $1,500 a week driving your own car.
Wow, that sounds great.
I know you're not even old enough to drive yet, but that's the fun of it.
Oh, wow! Man, I could save up all that money and put it towards college someday.
That's right. Lyft drivers can make up to $35 an hour. And getting started, little Brad, is just a tap away. You can drive mornings, nights, weekends. Just flip into driver mode and start making money. Plus, Lyft drivers can earn tips right through the app. And those add up fast.
Oh,
and
everyone tips a dwarf.
Well, they feel bad for you. Plus, Lyft drivers can earn tips right through the app. I just said that. And if you don't have to wait days or weeks to get paid... And Lyft drivers don't have to wait days or weeks to get paid, all right? You can cash out instantly once you've made $50 thanks to the Express Pay.
Wow.
Like, yeah. Driving with Lyft, it's super flexible. It allows you to keep 100% of your tips, and it's always there when you need the extra cash.
I could definitely use some extra cash, Uncle Adam.
I know. You keep borrowing money from me, you piece of shit. So sign up today at Lyft.com/ALN and start making more money and living your life the right way. Do it right now. Lyft has a special offer for our listeners. You'll get a $500 new driver bonus after you complete 100 rides within 30 days. So go to Lyft.com/ALN so you can start making extra money and get your $500 new driver bonus. Limited time only. Restrictions apply. That's Lyft.com/ALN. Lyft.com/ALN. Good night, little Brad.
Oh, I'm going to be a Lyft driver, Uncle Adam.
No, you're still probably not, because you're only 7.
Well, that's just your opinion, you discriminating son of a bitch.
Fuck you, man. And now, back to the episode.
And that's, I think, part of it. I've been doing a little self-reflecting on that, because I'm super like into like Tim Ferriss's book, The Tools of Titans, and like all this stuff right now. Like, really just want to be a better superhero of myself. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the reasons is because I don't really interact with people right now in my life. Like,
That's kind of a key element of the interview process, because I think you have to have a genuine, like, I've found that, like, just engaging with people, like, I found myself at one point going to comedy clubs and not hanging out too much in a certain standpoint, and then just going home or going from show to show. And not to say it would affect my podcast game, but it was like, man, the more you were just engaging in general with people, everything's going to be better. Even my phone calls with my mom, I would
more sense
they were more stale. I was like, what's going on? She's like, not much. I was like, all right, see you later, bitch. And it was like, you know, it's like, Jesus, my conversation skills are terrible. Yeah, what did he say?
Yeah.
No, I totally understand that. And I have such a propensity to just hide away just because it's easier. It's more comfortable. You get to do what you want. You don't have to do that.
Netflix has everything.
Thank you. And I really think that's a huge part of it. And with the 5 seconds of stand-up I did, which I actually did kind of love until I was,
of course,
it scared me to death. This dude, I will never forget, pulled me up because we were kind of friends. He was kind of mentoring me and just like literally like a bad like sitcom, like just pushed me onto the stage. And I said, I don't know what to do. He goes, just talk to the people.
Yeah.
And like literally like 12 minutes of crowd work was the most satisfying thing I've ever done in my
life.
That was fun.
Yeah, it's well, because
that and it stand up without a net, where you don't know where it's going to go, and you're like, sort of, you're on some sort of hyper alertness.
Yeah.
Where you're looking for anything. You're just looking for, what do you do for a living? Can I make that weird? Are you wearing a strange shirt? What's up with your hair? What kind of date is this? How did you guys meet?
Yes, and like, I feel like you're almost at a little bit of an advantage because they want it to be fun too.
It's not
like sitting back and be like, what's your set? Entertain me. This is like, oh, we're in on it too. Okay, I'm going to laugh because I want this to be fun.
Yeah.
You do so get good at asking amazing. The right questions from that
oh,
too.
I and
that, wait, so your curiosity in people made you want to do radio.
Yes.
But what about the acting world drew you to that? Like, why were you like, I'm going to be an actress?
I didn't know there was another option. So I got a theater degree. I was in little plays my entire life in the big community theater it was Guffman on a scale you wouldn't even understand. It was, I mean, thousands of people go to these outdoor
That's
shows.
Amazing.
Starlight, wow. Theater in the Park. The audition, I've never been through an audition since as rough as those auditions.
And you crush these shows, yeah?
I was in the chorus a few times.
Hell yeah.
But I loved it. And I still, like, it's super lame. But if I'm in a theater and, like, the lights go down and I'm about to see a musical.
Come on.
I start crying. Do you really?
Well, I don't start crying, but
I get very verklempt. I get very emotional.
Like, when I saw, what was the last Broadway musical I got choked up at? I want to say Wicked, maybe?
Wicked was pretty great.
Right?
Wicked hit all the right buttons.
Oh, no, the Carole King musical.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Oh, man. Sobbed like a baby on a...
Really?
Fucking getting rolled down a hill without a diaper. I don't know.
Beautiful.
Good try.
No, that was like very... Also, the music in that is just like epic, and Carole King is the greatest. And the story was... But I mean, you know, it came up in the same world, so it's... But so...
Was there a moment where you had to make that choice of like, oh... Shit, like I'm not going to be a theater person.
I think life made that choice for me. But that's true. But
true,
also,
it does sometimes.
It does. But I also felt like I have basically a degree in this. Why do I not feel good at it? Why do I not feel honest about it? Why aren't I passionate about it like I'm supposed to be? And I realized for me, and I think that's why I started stand-up, or I tried to do stand-up and I started radio at the same time, was because I'm not as good at or passionate about saying somebody else's words, interpreting somebody else's text.
Gotcha.
It's not for me.
You got more satisfaction by saying
by being
Gina
myself.
Grad's words, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, and you hit on something that's very key, I feel like, is like the passion part. If that's not there, like, then you should not try it at
pound
all.
Pound sand, move like, on.
Yeah.
Because there are people that is their entire life, and they are going to make it. And,
there
is no safety net. If it takes them until they're 72, they will make it in as an actor.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
If you're not going into it 100%, then how the hell are you going to compete with them?
I moved here 16 years ago, and 2 years ago.
2001.
Mazel tov.
2 years ago. Wait, sorry, I was wrong. Can you edit that out?
Take back that high five.
I moved here 14 years ago, and at this point in my life, my dream jobs. So that's 12 years of work. That's 12 years of sacrifice and hoping and not knowing and being crushed and major setbacks and minor accomplishments. And people email me all the time being like, how do I do it? Which always to me sounds like, can you help me? Do you know anybody?
That's 1,000% what it is.
And I always say the same thing. I don't know what to do, but I can tell you my story. And they're like, peace out, never mind.
Yeah, so, you mean 12 years of being poor?
They don't
want to
hear that.
Not knowing
what
to do.
I'll go to somebody else who's got the shortcut answer.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
People just want, and we get that all the time with open mic comics, like, how do you start headlining? And I go, okay, like, how many times are you going up a week? And they go, maybe like 2 or 3 times a month. I'm like, well, then you're not going to make it. And
that's a hobby.
Yeah, they
and that's fine, but it's a hobby.
They want you to tell them, oh, go to this club on this day, talk to this guy, then you're a star.
Or, I don't know what it is about you, but you remind me a lot of me. I'd like to take you under my wing.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're all looking for.
Yeah.
I think, everybody, and we all can probably attest to this, like, you want to be better than you are early on. You want to, like, have it figured out. Like, it's why kids want to, like, my nieces are 7. They pretend to text and have conversations with, like, their boyfriends, quote unquote.
Adorable.
It's like, so we all want to be further along at some point, but then and don't realize the amount of work that goes into it.
Absolutely.
And I think these comics that like ask Brad and I for like, you know, how do I get in a regular at the clubs? I've been doing it for 5 months and I'm like over these bringer shows, and it's like, man, there's some, you just can't replace the hard work. And like, again, yeah, it goes back to the passion thing. Like, I'm sure you were with radio. It was like you love, like you said, you would do anything to be a part of that team.
Anything.
So I just want to be in that environment.
Yeah. And this is the part that, that people don't want to hear, that when I start, like, how'd you get in? Okay. Nepotism. First of all, I was working at Hugo Boss selling suits, nice, wanting to jerk the wheel every morning when I drove in, and I couldn't take it anymore. And I called my dad, who worked at KNX at the news station, and I said, Dad, I can't do this anymore. Is there anything? Can you get me an interview or anything?
If I sell one more pair of shoes to a Persian guy who bought, I mean, right?
It's like you were there. I wore a wedding ring. Yeah. I'm not married, by the way.
Yeah. Bro. Bro, why are you calling me bro as you're hitting on me?
Please.
Bro.
So he made a couple of phone calls, and I got an interview at KLSX. That is as far as I ever got with the family help. Sure. And they said, we like you, kid. You're going to phone screen in the middle of the night, Saturday night to Sunday mornings. Congratulations on your radio job, your glamorous radio job.
Which is the absolute bottom, it's, like, there, you cannot get lower than that.
I am below the totem pole.
Yeah.
And it's the public access, like, giving back show.
Oh, wow. Oh,
and so you're there to just be near the phone during, like, colon blow hour that's pre-taped, and then you stay for, like, the public access. That was my glamorous, while I was working 60 hours a week on Rodeo, and at that point, doing practice shows in Frosty, Heidi, and Frank's studio when they weren't there, and then eventually got a gig on the weekends in San Diego. So I drive to San Diego's on Sundays before work. So this was the glamorous life of radio that I did for many years.
But how do you make it?
Prayer.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, what strong, do you mean by practice prayer shows?
I would literally go in and turn on the equipment and talk to myself.
Oh, my God.
And these were full windows. Everyone could see in.
Yeah.
And it's super weird and super embarrassing. But at one point,
but super effective.
Yeah, Tim Conway Jr., because he, like Adam Carolla, appreciates grit.
Mm-hmm. You were like Robin Williams and Mrs. Doubtfire playing with the dinosaurs, and the guy comes in and goes, remember when he was like, I'm a dinosaur doing what I, all that shit, remember?
That was me.
And then he's
but
like,
with no
there's
toys.
A show there.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's incredible.
So their phone screener left, who was a big part of the show, and he goes, who's that chick that's always talking to herself in the other studio while we're on? She seems to work hard. How about her? Great. So that's how I got that job. And that's it, you have to be super weird and super committed and not worry about, you know, looking stupid talking to yourself in the middle of a radio station.
But I mean, I love that story just because it's like half of this business, and I would think half of almost any business, is just showing up.
Yes.
Show up constantly.
Yep.
Be around.
Yep.
Be consistent.
Be someone to when there is an opening. So and someone goes, oh my, we have to fill that opening. Isn't that one girl that I've always seen?
Yeah, exactly.
So she's a radio person, and we tell comics that. Be at the comic clubs.
Yes.
Just so people say, like, oh, who's a comic? Oh, that one guy's a comic, or that one girl's a comic. I see her there all the time.
Yes, yes.
So just be there.
Yeah, and you can be that one girl. That's fine. They'll remember that chick sitting in the corner.
Absolutely.
And that's, so when I got the call about the morning show that I do, this is another, this is really important, and it's the same for guys. You guys be cunty, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We I love that word, by
the
way.
Okay, me too. It doesn't bother me at all.
Cunty is, I think, softer than if you don't add the Y.
I think you're right.
Right?
And it's also cute if you make it an adverb.
Ooh.
You're acting quite cuntly.
Ooh, cuntly.
Yeah.
Wait, did you say cuntly or cunty?
Cuntly.
Cuntly. That's
an adverb.
Cuntly
that
almost could be a last name.
Yeah.
Like Brad Cuntley, like a weatherman.
That's good.
Who's like
Brad
Cuntley? Storm in Kansas City.
Oh God! Bullshit. Yeah, thanks for that news, Cuntley.
It's cuter though, right?
Yeah,
it's funny.
Yeah.
So when I got this job, Mark Thompson, it was our show, Mark in the Morning.
Yep. From people may know him from the Mark and Brian days out here in Los Angeles.
Exactly. He heard my stuff and he loved it and he thought it was great. But he called every person I've ever worked with on radio and asked if I was hard to work with.
Wow.
That was it. He called Jack Silver, the program director from KLSX.
That's right, peeps.
Yep. He called Tim Conway.
Brad, how do you know so many
things?
He knows
everything.
Okay, well, the only reason why I know Jack Silver, I've never had a conversation with Jack Silver, but Bald Brian on the Adam Carolla podcast will do an impression of Jack Silver.
He
so
will.
I'm doing an impression of Bald Brian.
And he's
doing
always been very nice
Silver.
To me. Not Brian.
Yeah.
Jack. He called.
She's got great cans.
Yep. He called everybody I've ever worked with that I didn't even, old program directors that I forgot about, and asked one question: is she hard to work with? Is she a bitch? And and everybody said, no, she's super fun, super easy, has no drama. And that's why I got that job.
Well, wow. And
you hear that, kids?
Yeah.
And to don't be a diva, everyone.
And to translate that to comedy, if you want to be an opening act, if you want to be someone that someone takes with them on the road, sure, be funny. That's kind of important. Right. But are you a good hang?
Yeah.
Do I want to hang out with you for a weekend? And if you're in a morning show, you're hanging with someone from 6 to 10.
Yeah.
If you're not a morning person and if you're difficult, you're already miserable because it's 6 to 10.
Yes.
You don't need someone else with you that is also miserable and then brings you down.
Out. Absolutely.
And then like you, and then like the Corolla job happened pretty much at the same time?
2 weeks later. Because I'd filled in for, you know, for Teresa or for Allison for years.
Right.
And
Teresa Strasser, Allison
I'm
Rosen.
I'm sorry, I'm being a dick. Like everybody knows.
That's fine. That's fine. I just want to make sure.
No, thank you. Because that's usually my job.
Well, I want to know real quick, first of all, how, so the morning, once you get that gig, I mean, is that like, I mean, tears? Are you just like, oh, I've made it. Now I can like kind of pump the brakes on like grinding because I got to a point to where I vowed at everything?
Good question. Yeah. Do you want to know how I celebrated?
Yeah.
I sobbed on the couch and watched Shark Tank.
Whoa.
Because I am one of those people that doesn't believe in celebrating, because then that means that something equally opposite horrible will happen to me. So I just said, I like, I wish I could have fun like normal people, but I'm like, this is too good. Like,
well, you cried tears of joy, right?
I cried tears of fear.
Oh.
I can't like, do this.
Now I have, now what I have this I responsibility.
Yeah. I mean, because like, you like through that, I'm sure you just, you didn't cry all night, and then at some point you like rallied yourself and go, cool, now what's the alternative here? Am I done crying or
correct.
Am I going to sack up?
You're so close. It was actually the other way around. I got off the phone with my radio agent and he gave me the good news, and I looked at my boyfriend. I was like, I got it. And I kind of started freaking out and getting excited. And then I remembered, like Adam Carolla does, I remembered who I am and that, you know, good things, God forbid something good happened to me. So then I was like, okay, well, let's not tell anyone. Let's not celebrate. Let's just everyone just calm down. Oh, Shark Tank. And then the eyes welled up and I just thought, what have I done? Because this is change and this is new and I don't know if I can pull this off.
And there's only so many moments in life where you know that after you get a certain phone call or a conversation where you go, oh, my life from this point on is completely different.
Absolutely.
It was going one way.
Yep.
Now this event happened. Now it's going this way.
Yep. And you know, Adam gave me such great advice. He called me before I started, like permanently. And I have tried to apply this to so many things. When he said, on your first day, don't treat it like your first day. Treat it like your 57th day. And even though it's easier said than done, I have applied that to so many things.
Really?
You're here. You belong here. Be natural. Be comfortable. Don't, you have nothing to prove. Don't overdo it. Everybody hates that.
Yeah.
So just be comfortable. But the first time I think I actually felt like I've arrived in some way and like really felt like I achieved something was doing a live show. Because that was really scary.
Well, yeah, because then you have the audience there and now you're not just speaking into a microphone.
Right.
Now, if now if you talk, now everyone else stops and you have, in some cases, 250 eyes just on you.
And compounded, do you know how unflattering it is to sit on a bar stool when you're 35 pounds heavier than I am right now?
For anybody, it's
unflattering. Oh, it's the worst. It's
bar stools are the worst.
It's all, it's muffin tops on top of muffin tops.
Oh my God, exactly.
It's horrible.
Oh, it is so bad. But now, oh my God, live shows are so fun. We do them all the time. It's such a great environment.
I was so bummed. We were supposed to be on the Oxnard one. Oh man! Well, we were both out of town doing gigs.
Mother F.
It was really bummed.
We had a really good time. Would have been
that
way better. That
club
with you guys.
Seems rad.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
I'll play
it. Oh my God,
it's great.
And speaking of you two, Brad, what was the name of the made-up movie that we love so much?
Oh, all right. We played
miniature something, right?
No. This was the one that we were just talking about outside.
Yes.
Okay.
You guys were on the Corolla show. We were playing made-up movie. Yeah. And it was collectively our favorite day of the year.
Yes. The on the Corolla show, they play a game called made-up movie, where literally you just get a title
something inches, right?
And Adam goes. Corolla just rants about
a
movie.
He makes up a movie around the title.
My favorite one ever was not on our episode, but someone said The Spice of Life. And Adam Carolla came up with Tina Fey plays a chef named Meg Nutman. And she's all about adding spices or whatever. And then the tagline of the movie is, she had it cumin.
It was a triumph. God. Meg Nutman. Oh my and she's God. Like a greatest spice enthusiast.
Yeah, that's greatest amazing. Thing ever.
That made me so happy.
But those things happen at those live shows.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons is I had an acting coach, and the best advice I've ever gotten from an acting coach was desperate people get super creative super fast.
Oh, that's true.
So if you look out and you see that audience all looking at you, you're gonna come up with something because you have to.
Absolutely.
You can't just stand there and go like,
got nothing.
Yeah,
got nothing. How's your night?
No, you can't. Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
And
how many live morning shows did it take before you were like, all right, when the Carolla job came, that you felt prepared to jump in?
Well, I asked for, because they wanted me to start basically the same day, and I asked for 2 weeks. And I said, I'll need 2 weeks. And Mike August, who is, you know, mm-hmm. just sort of in charge, all knowing, said, no problem. You can have 1 week. I didn't know it was up for negotiation. So I started a week after.
Okay.
And I just remember feeling like, no matter what happens, remember that you are sitting in a chair that people would kill to sit next to this man and watch him do what he does.
Yeah. And and for those who aren't familiar with the Adam Carolla show in terms of how you got the job, Alison Rosen, great, wonderful personality. She's got a great podcast now, and she did a great job as a news girl. I don't know. I don't want to say who fired who or what happened, but there was a lot of blowback. People were upset at Adam. They were upset at Allison. They weren't upset at me. Well, right, because
I caught a lot of shrapnel, man.
Yeah, because really? I was gonna ask that, because did people take it out on you? Were you the new were you dad divorces mom and then brings in the new
Look,
woman?
I'm Jewish. Yeah. I'm used to being the scapegoat. We did it again. Not only did we start a brand new morning show. Now, people like familiarity.
Yep.
People like things that they recognize. People like things that they've had time to connect with. So we started a brand new spanking hot off the press morning show and a brand new news girl, you know, co-host that just got kind of, you know, shoved in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was rough.
Yeah.
I would literally, like, I would be...
Don't check Twitter.
Okay. Because because I still hadn't figured out the schedule now, I wouldn't think of napping, but I would mm-hmm. nap in between shows and just lay in my bed and look at these tweets and cry.
And watch Shark Tank.
Jesus. And then I'd get to Carolla and be like, okay, little concealer, little buck up.
God.
And then I'd be like, okay, I got this. And I'd be reading the news. I'm like, you know what? Things aren't so bad. Notification.
Check Twitter.
Who's this country? And I was just like, God. I was broken. I was fucking broken. And when people ask now, like, what do you do? I got a mean tweet. I'm like, honey, you don't even know what it's like.
God.
So I feel so. That's why I personally, because I'm not a comic and I don't want to see if I can get away with it. It's not mm-hmm. really my nature. I don't shit on people publicly. I don't. Privately, it is a party.
Yeah, sure.
But on Twitter.
It's a part of being a human being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you say you don't do it.
Oh. You're
like my
lying.
Mom, I heard her gossip about like friends of hers at Temple, and it was the best. Oh,
Temple gossip's the best gossip. Like,
yeah, it really is.
So I just held my head up, and you know, and I would always say, well, you know what, Rome wasn't built in a day. Thanks for getting used to me, and it was just it was really hard. Now I've gotten since then so many people apologizing that I would never remember their names, but they come up to me at live shows and they're like, hey, I think you're amazing. Oh, thanks. Yeah, I was pretty hard on you on Reddit, and you just kind of like feel that like triggering, like sinking seventh grade feeling again. But anymore, it's like, you know what? You don't pay my fucking bills. Like these two people seem to enjoy my
Hell
time, and it doesn't matter.
And it's so weird how when I've seen it happen multiple times, whether it be Ally McKay coming in for Lisa May.
I love Ally McKay.
On the Kevin and Bean show. I mean, she went through that as well.
And we kind of were going through it at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. So you guys can like confide in each other.
Yeah. She was really, it's helpful because it is isolating.
Yeah.
Like you got these two jobs. You think everyone's going to throw you a ticker tape parade and you just accomplished your dream and everybody hates you. It is.
Now, do Adam or Brian, like, do they understand that and come to you with any sort of, or they just kind of go, look, this is the gig, like, just jump in?
Yeah, I don't think so, because I never brought it up, because that's not what you do. You know, that, to me, that
because you know, it's a pity party.
You didn't want to be the new girl going like, hey, I just got here. life is hard for me. And yeah. they're like looking at you like, buck up.
Well, and Adam, I would think, because of the kind of person he is, and I try to emulate in so much of my life, is, and what? Are you doing? Are you happy? Are you making money? Are you doing what you want to do? What you're burning calories on what now?
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, I would be too ashamed, I think, to bring that to them. And my thing has always been, if you want to just go after me and like corner me and tell me how much you hate me, I can stomach it. But if you start alerting people that I love and respect and care about how much you hate me, now we have a problem, because now it's like a deep-seated shame. Like, I don't want my mom to see that, you know, her baby who's worked so hard that people hated her for like a year. You know, you don't want to see that.
And the more you put it out there, the more real it is. Like, if you were to like just vocalize it to anybody, then you buy into it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Of the hype and of your bummer situation.
Bummer situation. Yeah. And then people, your friends, your best friends, who are amazing people who've never been in this situation because they're not in this business, go, oh, just ignore the troll.
Yeah, I suppress a lot of shit, and it'll probably blow up on me one day, but like I internalize a lot of just frustration. Like, I'll use my mom sometimes and maybe a few friends, but like anytime I get genuinely like bummed or frustrated, I just like go, like what you just said, like what are you, okay, like what are your
and
options
what?
Here?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Suck it up, or like be, I mean, sometimes you gotta allow yourself to be a little bummed out and grieve over.
Exercise that block button, people. Exercise the block button.
And that's important, because some people like think that that's like, oh, then they think they got me. I have a really fulfilling life. I don't need to see. Okay, you hate. All right, well, I don't need to see this anymore. Move on.
Yeah. And how did you like when you were going through all that? How did you like starting the new morning show, being the new newswoman on Corolla? Like, how did you get through it?
I buried myself in Doritos and gained 35 pounds. Literally, like, I would show up like a zombie. I was exhausted. I was scared. I was tired. I was sad. I was worried. And I would just go right, like, just like a zombie to the vending machine and just start like pushing buttons. Like,
well, especially because the vending machine at Corolla is free.
Okay, I have some bad news.
Is it really? What? It's not anymore. They got rid of it.
I walked past a gaping hole in the hallway today.
Oh no, they took out the vending machine.
So sad.
That was always my go-to.
I know, it's everybody's go-to.
I can come in and get a granola bar or a Snickers or something really quick.
I know. Now you're just going to have to open the fridge like a normal person.
I don't like it.
I know. It was really sad.
I don't like change.
But I have to say, for whatever reason, you know, people always say, just be yourself. It eventually worked. People get used to you. They get familiar with you. They like you, because if you're vulnerable or if you laugh at yourself. And I consider, like, for me, Lisa Lampanelli from My Money is my fucking idol.
Hell yeah,
when it comes
great.
To taking a joke.
Right?
Absolutely.
Nobody laughs harder than her at a joke about her.
Right.
And
watch the roast that she's been on.
They're the best.
Because they come at her so brutal.
Oh God, and the harder they come at her, the harder she laughs.
The more she laughs.
So when Adam does that shit to me, or Brian, I am the one laughing the hardest, because I know these people are in my corner. I know we're having fun. It's the people that I don't know that try and join in, like, wait your turn. But people that have earned that, like, love and respect, oh my God, nothing makes me laugh harder when Adam does that.
What came first, the positive feedback or you feeling positive about the job you were doing?
Dr. Phil McGraw.
What you need to do. What? Hey, that's my impression. I did that on the Corolla show, and that got me on the Stern show.
Okay.
What was the question? I was baffled by your.
Well, I want to know. Okay, is what
case me as her? How about that?
Oh, I God. Still not watch that, and
I don't want
you'll
to.
You'll lose brain
cells.
She was on Dr. Phil, right?
It's ridiculous.
I don't want to.
And then she's like, "I made you a star, Dr. Phil. You're welcome." Don't watch it.
She'll be dead in 5 years.
Yep. I should call into Corolla and do some sort of thing where it's like have like just the breakdown of having her on the show, right?
Sure.
That would be amazing.
But yeah, so what, like, did you start to see a lot of positive tweets, and just like, did Adam say something, or did you just finally get comfortable and go, cool, I got this now, and then you start seeing positive stuff too, so you're almost like immune to it, because you're like, I know I'm doing a good job.
Yeah.
I feel it.
Honestly, we're being honest, right? We're keeping it
100. Yeah, we have to get the candles lit.
Good, great. There are candles. It is very romantic in here.
I'm a single guy. Duh. Welcome back to duh.
I think because I was so slogging through this, like, tidal wave of hatred and bullshit, that once people started coming around, I really needed to hear it. I really needed that positive reinforcement. I had it from my family. I had it from my boyfriend. I had it from my friends. But I needed it from the people who were actually listening to these shows.
Yeah, right.
And that really did help. Now, I couldn't tell you the last time I got a tweet that was fucked up. We just interact. We have fun. And if we're not having fun, it doesn't matter. You're a gnat. Fuck off. It doesn't matter.
Love because that.
I've proven myself to myself. I get a paycheck. I earn a living, and I'm having the time of my life. And I love the people who love me. I love the people who support me. I'm thrilled. I'm grateful.
Now, Adam is like a pioneer, like maybe even a god in our industry, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what do you what do you feel like you've learned from him just from watching and sitting next to him every day?
Anger is a powerful thing.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
No, he's really, nobody makes, I don't even know if he was a fan of Sam Kinison, but can you think of anyone who's made anger as funny as Sam Kinison since?
I mean, yeah.
I'd be hard pressed to.
Corolla or Marin or just, but
yeah.
Yeah,
but Marin now I feel like is angry for the sake of being angry.
Yeah.
I feel like things have gotten better. It's like,
well, and
Adam, also, Adam feels therapy dogs in his core.
For sure.
Yeah.
And for Adam, I've seen him like on the, when I was on the set of his movie Road Hard, and I saw him at the craft service table ranting to Kevin Hench, the writer, something about Peanuts. I don't know what about Peanuts, but he was probably in full, like, I'm like, there's no microphones, there's no cameras. That's who that guy is.
Yeah, it's true.
He's just going like, hey, Peanuts, why don't we figure out Peanuts was the magical thing we had to go with? Why not a walnut? They're so much better. Who made this decision? And you're just, and he's just going, and you're like, what? Oh, that's not a character.
No, this is who he is.
This is who you are.
I think, first of all, he doesn't know this yet because I want to see if he can figure it out. But I used to take Groundlings classes and I loved it. Mm-hmm. And I stopped for 10 years because I'm busy and it's expensive. Yep. But I'm going back to UCB because you need to stay sharp when you sit next to him.
Yeah.
And when you're sitting next to a master improviser, you realize how much work you need to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't have any time. I don't have any money. Well, fuck it. I fucking made time.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You have to rise to a very high caliber to sit next to him. And I respect that because he's on a train. He's going, get on and keep up. And that has been a huge lesson for me.
Had we not had this podcast, I don't think I ever would have gotten on the show because then I just wouldn't have, you know, seen Brad get through a lot and then just, and it was his natural progression. But like, I feel like doing that was such a benefit. And people saying too, like, I think I even asked you the first time I went on, I was like, what's, and you were like, try to use what you've gained in the podcast world and like, don't just sit back. Like,
no,
like be involved.
And I remember stop.
And I remember getting messages of people being like, man, that was really cool how you like, didn't like fight for conversation, but found places to like pepper in and be include yourself because you really can get buried because
he knows what he knows.
He has an opinion about everything.
Yes, I call it verbal double dutch. You have to know when to jump in.
Yeah,
like, watch the jump ropes.
And the advice I give to other comics are saying, hey, I'm going on Kroll. I go, listen, if you don't talk, he's not going to be one of those DJs that just like looks at you and goes, so what's your opinion on?
But yeah, he's not Jiminy Glick. So tell me.
Yeah,
he doesn't.
He will go.
Yeah.
So you, verbal double dutch, you have to pick your spots. You have to jump in. But then if you do it a few times, then he starts trusting you.
Exactly.
Then he starts going like,
absolutely.
Oh, okay. When Gina talks, I'm going to stop
because
she's going to say something good. She is going to contribute.
Yes. And you guys are great examples of that, by the way.
Oh, thank good.
Because you can tell. I mean, I sit in the middle of, you know, the guest and Adam. I could tell he fucking loves you guys.
Oh, cool.
And it's obvious why.
Well, it's, I mean, you guys are like a dream team. It's a, you know, it's an honor to even like be.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any, I don't know, like top three, like, I mean, how many, probably thousands of hours of episodes at this point?
I guess. It's been over 2 years.
I want to know, like, a guest that you, like, just, like, lost your fucking mind over meeting. And then a moment that was, like, so funny you were talking about it, like, podcasts after that. Like,
you mean besides Meg Nutman?
I mean, that might be it.
Meg Nutman was pretty strong.
That was pretty amazing.
Go back and listen to that.
Or a moment that you were like, I don't know, got a call or there was a conversation that you guys had that you were like, oh, this is really kind of bigger than just a comedy show.
Interesting. I have to say, when I first started, and because I love him now and I loved him then, when I was like, oh, who's on the show today? I'm new and I have news. Mm-hmm. And Patton motherfucking Oswalt walked into the room, I lost my mind.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I couldn't believe I was in the same room. Same thing happened with Jim Jefferies.
Yeah.
Because I'm a comedy person. Like, I love it.
They're two of the greatest of all time.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe I was sitting in the same room. Now, again, I'm really into MSNBC, so when we have Shark Tank people on, there I go crazy. Marcus Lemonis, I need a mop. Yeah. I get really, really excited about certain like business-related reality shows.
You know, we did Shark Tank sketches on Mad TV. I should send them to you. I mean, everybody looked like them. And the girl, my friend Carly Craig, who played, who's the little blonde girl? Or the
QVC?
Lori.
Yeah. She was incredible.
Oh, my God, I'll send
it. It was
that.
Bobby and Ike Barinholtz. They came in pitching a bunch of like shitty...
I love Ike Barinholtz. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That show is...
And Bobby Moynihan?
Bobby Lee.
Oh!
Yeah, yeah. Has he been on the show?
He's been... I think he's called into the morning show and been on Corolla once since I've been there.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, I've only been there for 2 years, yeah. They've had everybody.
Yeah.
Dolph Lundgren was pretty exciting today.
Yeah.
Just to be in the room with Ivan Drago.
I mean...
It was a big deal. You know, he is a Fulbright scholar.
Is he really?
And a chemical engineer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And he just looks like a big dumb oaf, but then he starts talking, you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, don't judge an oaf by its face.
He looks
right
like
after how good of a Jew are you, don't judge an oaf by its face.
He's like a sexy Matterhorn.
Yeah.
Sexy Matterhorn.
Yeah.
I like that.
He's Swedish. Sounds I don't know like where the Matterhorn
is. Is that what you dig in, guys? Like the...
The Uber Allis?
Yeah.
Not generally.
The Adonis?
No.
Sure.
It's somewhere in the middle between super my people and super somebody else's people. I'm right. really not a fairly equal opportunity employer.
I like it.
Yeah.
I know you've got to go, but I want to...
Oh, because Diva has a heart out. I am so sorry.
Why? This is great.
You're so fine.
You'll come back anytime.
I would love
You're
that.
Fine. I do just want to get something out.
Please.
Real quick. And we were kind of we briefly talked about this outside. Everyone at this table loves Adam Carolla. We all consider him a friend and a wonderful person, extremely funny, and I agree with 90% of the things that he says on his show.
That's a lot.
That's
a good number.
Yeah, that's really high.
Now, there is the 10% for me that he says sometimes that I go, not
for me.
Not for me, yeah, but right. at the same time, I'm not going to stop listening to the show,
right.
and I'm not going to lose any respect for the man.
Sure.
Are there times when he's on the show and he goes on a rant about whatever that you have an opposing view?
That I recoil?
Yeah, like now, are you encouraged to jump in and bring up that opposing view? Are you like, I'm just gonna let my boss do his thing? Like,
yeah, it's kind of both. I remember we got into, I thought it was one of the most exciting, interesting debates ever. We were talking about when the whole Caitlyn Jenner thing happened,
yep.
and all the transgender stuff. I just really felt strongly about some stuff. I really held my ground. We kept, you know, we had mm-hmm. this debate, and I was really invigorated by it.
Yeah.
There are other times where, again, verbal double dutch doesn't just technically allow for,
sure.
you know, it's not, he wants to say what he wants to say, and it's, you know, we're not, he's not maybe bringing us in because he wants to, it's his show.
Yeah.
He wants to finish his thought.
Yep.
So it's both.
Okay.
But I told him at the Christmas party that we just had, his daughter Natalia is my favorite human being.
Your spirit animal?
Oh my God. She is him.
Yeah.
But it just in this cute little.
How old?
She's 10.
That's incredible.
Because he has twins that are amazing. His kids are so fucking cool and just grounded.
I bet he's a great dad.
Yeah, and I've watched football with his son Sonny.
Oh,
and he's the best.
He's the best. And Natalia's my girl. So she's kind of following me around the party. We're having fun, and she has her little arms around my waist because that's mm-hmm. how tall she is. And I go up to say bye to Adam, and he puts his arm around my shoulder, and he was just saying, you know, just these wonderfully complimentary things and what a nice person I am and how it's great to, you know, just be around nice people.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm not like a mean spirit. I don't like prank shit. Like, it's just not my thing. It's not my thing. But he was just like, yeah, you're just such, you're so great, you're so nice. And Natalia looked up at me and said, "You're the belle of the ball." And I fucking lost it.
God.
So we're dying laughing at that. And, you know, we're kind of having a drunken heart to heart. And he's like, even if we don't agree on everything, even if we don't agree on politics. And I said, to be perfectly honest, my political views have changed a lot since working with you. And he looked at Natalia and said, you see? Do you hear what she said? Some people respect me. Some people don't. And that's true because
that's awesome.
I'm not party affiliated. I think it's broken.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are things I feel, whatever. And I don't feel like he's trying to ever shut me down or shut Brian down. We get our thoughts in just fine. But there are things that he has explained so razor sharp amazingly that I'm like, well, I don't have an argument for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've definitely come around on a few things that just were sort of beaten into my head that this is how you think, this is what we do.
Sure. And do there's a lot of things he said that goes against what your heart tells you and what you've always said or what you've always been told. Yeah. But
as
he explains it and you're going, oh God, it makes a lot of fucking sense.
Yeah. That's like Vinny Tortorich, our nutritionist with like no sugar, no grain. Gina, if you eat a ton of fat, I promise you'll lose weight. And I'm like, I can't be hurt again by this situation. Like, please. And I finally like gave into it and it worked. So it's like your head tells you go to Weight Watchers and eat the poison cookies. I'm sure they're not poison. I was just kidding. But honestly, they were fine. They were absolutely fine. I just didn't do as well. But
of course.
Mm-hmm. But eating, you know, olive oil and avocados and shit and staying away from the sugar and the grain works. It goes against everything you think is supposed to work.
Do you feel like you've gotten smarter from doing the podcast?
Fuck yeah. Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
Oh, my God.
Like, not even a thing you go in like expecting or desiring, but it just happens because you're like, I'm consuming so much information and engaging in opinions and perspectives that like you can't help but being a sponge. Dude, because your listening has to be at an all-time level.
Oh my God.
And the guests, whether it be Shark Tank guys, whether it be thinkers, whether it be people that have crazy different political opinions.
Mario Lopez.
Yes. Didn't you? Mario Lopez.
Right? I'm surprised you didn't mention him.
I've not been on since he's been on.
Oh, God.
Is that a thing?
I know. I don't know. But didn't he have?
We'll find
should
out.
Be.
Or did,
I
maybe,
feel like he was just in a landslide at his house or something. Didn't his house fall down a hill? I thought I saw that on the
news. Well, now I feel like we need to get up and start digging him out.
Yeah, somebody get a Kickstarter. Why are we not saving Mario Lopez right now?
Yeah.
Doing nothing.
Yeah.
I don't want to change my answer, but I do need to add my answer to my all-time favorite guest that when you said thinkers, it just reminded me we were all like, all of us.
Who's that?
Three words.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Close. You're on the right track. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Ooh, really?
That was the most exciting moment of my life.
Because he's so excited about it.
Oh my God, that was incredible. And I had a question that's been bouncing around in my head forever, but I never told anyone because I thought I would look stupid. So who do I tell? Neil deGrasse Tyson. And he said it was a good question and I almost died.
Wow, a good question. That's like...
It was amazing.
From a genius.
Yeah.
So when a genius says that's a great question, you're
it
like,
it was great.
That's goddamn right it is.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm only saying this because I'm the one that believes it the least. I am a card carrying Mensa member. But
really?
Nobody believes me and I don't believe it because it doesn't match up with what you would think.
Yeah.
So I feel super stupid, always have, always will. So when I was like, I have a question, oh my God, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. And because we were talking about like planets that might have water on it and planets that you could, you know, that life could survive because there's water.
Yeah.
And I was like, here goes nothing. Mr. deGrasse Tyson, how do we know that aliens need water? And he's like, oh, that is such a good question. You know, it reminds me of my favorite Far Side comic strip when there's an alien crawling through the desert and he's going, ammonia, ammonia. And I felt so validated.
Oh,
I'm like,
my God.
How
so
do we know
cool.
aliens need water? Maybe they need something else. Oh, my God. Neil
I would
deGrasse
isolate
Tyson.
That soundbite and play it every morning and masturbate to it. But that's just me. That's how I was raised.
Absolutely. And you know what? And Neil deGrasse Tyson, despite my recent tweet about you attacking... the dwarf sun of the new solar system
that
and saying that if there's no life in the new solar system, blame the dwarf.
Yeah.
How dare you? We would still love to have you on the podcast and you are a god amongst men.
Yes, please. Please come on this podcast.
Well, thank you for doing this and come back anytime. We got to do that sooner or later.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're incredible. I'm sure you're going to write a book at some point, right? You're already thinking about that?
I can't believe you said that. Wow.
Think about like even just like briefly touching on your story, but I just feel like an audiobook too. Like we just listened to Carol Leifer's audiobook and it was great. And she has a great voice and she can articulate and I feel like you would be in the same boat.
I cannot tell you what a gigantic compliment that is.
Yeah.
Thank you. And seriously, not to like give like the end of the show tug job, but I was
well, that's how we end the show.
Is that something we can do?
Hands under the table.
All right.
Yes, that penis.
You guys are you're huge stars. You're comedians. Everybody knows. Everybody loves you. And like when Brad was like, oh, maybe I want to come on the show. I'm like, oh, fuck you. I'm sure I'll hear from you. I was so excited. I know had huge, 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 huge stars, and I thought, well, they must have had a dropout.
Oh, shush.
This is seriously, like, this means a lot to me. I love you guys. I respect the shit out of what you do, I'm so glad to know you.
Well, let's cut these mics off and let the circle jerking begin.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.